This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football Friday. What's happening? How are you today? Let's do it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here. Yeah, a little football, a little hoops as well. LeBron, we'll start with that as we get it going inside of our Quicken Loan studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. 855-212-4227. At Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, we'll do all the football once we get past all the basketball with LeBron.
Or at least a little bit of the basketball.
That's well, LeBron. That's all that matters.
You're right.
What's up, T?
All's good, man.
You good?
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting game last night for the Los Angeles Lakers. There was things that you looked for. How was he going to play? How many minutes was he going to play? Play 38 because he's going to be like he kind of started or ended last year. He's going to start this season. But it was interesting. He was mic'd up for part of this since the teaching that he was doing for all of these young guys. And I didn't catch this during the game. But I saw it afterwards on social media.
I forgot. Stay down, brother.
Stay down.
Your big brother got you.
Someone's going to come pick you up. And
that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. But as I was listening to it, I'm like, how different of a season is this for LeBron James? Last year, really for the last 6 years, he's gone into the season saying, all right, I got to get this guy better. K-Love, you got to buy into this thing. You know, Kyrie, you're never having a game where you don't have an assist. Preparing to win and get to a championship. This feels like he's a tenured professor, and he's got a class full of really young, inexperienced guys who he's got to tell even the simplest things to. It's just a different feel for LeBron. I think the expectation is way down in my mind because they can't make a 3-point shot if they were given one.
No,
but it's just interesting to see the evolution of him from a year ago, when it was all about getting a championship, getting to the NBA Finals, trying to find a way to beat the Golden State Warriors. It's like, this is chill mode, LeBron, in a good way.
This is going to be a rough season.
Very.
This is going to be a very rough season for the Lakers. There's a reason why I wasn't feeling the enthusiasm. I mean, some people who cover the sport with great fervor, great accuracy, here in Western Conference Finals.
No,
are you nuts with this team? I mean, this team really is not that good. What I find interesting, too, is we spent so much time, Teague, on the roles and the role allocation of the veterans who signed one-year deals.
Yeah,
you know,
it
was like this was like on Spin Cycle, you know, Rondo, Lance Stephenson, McGee, this guy. Really, what I think is going to be the most interesting part of their development and success or failure, probably somebody like Josh Hart. You know, somebody like that who I loved him at Villanova. He's a 4-year guy, champion. He's a two-way player. He's a good shooter. But they just can't shoot.
No.
And, you know, you said this, and that's the key takeaway. Now, last night, it's interesting because, and Lonzo said this postgame, they're not going 0 for 15 to start a game the rest of the season.
No.
But it is interesting, like, to me, while they will certainly improve upon that, clearly, it was a painful foreshadow, almost like by the basketball gods.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to drop a few at some point here, but let's just let the whole world know that in totality, you guys can't shoot. You can't shoot.
No one can.
You can't shoot threes, and that ain't changing.
The best shooter is LeBron, probably.
I think Hart is. I think Josh
Hart
is.
Probably is, yeah. You
and I think Kuzma's got great potential.
Yeah.
But Ball's a stiff from behind the arc, and Rondo's terrible. I know he's a little bit better in the postseason, but Ingram's erratic from downtown. They're really – Stevenson's terrible from behind the arc. They got a lot of bricklayers on this team.
At what point – do they go try to find a sniper? Right? Does that happen this season, or is that Is that too far outside of the realm of possibility?
A sniper?
Meaning, we're okay. You know, we might make the postseason. If we do, if we're going to make the postseason, we might as well make a run at it because we have LeBron James.
Uh-huh.
Let's go. You know, what point do they say we really need to get a guy?
Oh, I think that Magic and Pelinka, I think they're already plotting this out. I mean, listen, Pelinka's a former agent. Magic's one of the greatest minds of all time. They watch these guys practice every day, and they see these balls banging off the back rim. They know what we know times a million,
yeah.
And they're both smart, they're both savvy, they're both aggressive. That's always been the Lakers' DNA. I got a name for them. It's certainly not going to solve anything in terms of elevating them to a level that some think they could already reach, like the finals or something like that. But I got like Courtney Lee. You know, the Knicks are the youngest team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Their average age is 24. Courtney's got, I think, 2 years to go. It's not a four-year deal. Four-year gift from Phil Jackson, although he's actually a serviceable player. Pretty good defender, pretty good shooter. He's a veteran team guy, not young, not old. He'll be fine with whatever role you give him. I could see them making a move for somebody like him, but I think what they need to determine before they do anything is, and that's why, you know, you'll see at the end of the games, Lonzo. You might not see him at the start. You'll see Rondo to start.
Yep.
And Rondo's going to play big minutes.
Yeah.
But you'll see Kuzma.
And he played well, by the way.
He did play pretty well. 32 minutes, whatever it was. You'll see at the end of the game, the Ingrams. You'll see LeBron, of course. You'll see Lonzo in spurts. You'll see Kuzma. They need to get a sense of who can play not only with LeBron just, you know, as a broad-based, you know, starting point, but probably more importantly, who can flourish with LeBron at the end of games? So everybody's made, wow, why isn't this guy starting? Who cares?
Yeah.
It's about who finishes.
Yeah, again.
But they're not good.
Now, basketball.
They're not a good team.
Yeah, you're right. Basketball's all about the fourth quarter. And then you talk about Lonzo. Lonzo didn't see very many minutes. He didn't see very many minutes in the fourth quarter. You think about Lonzo and.
But I'm saying he will, is what I'm saying.
You think?
I think he will.
Why?
Because, again, if this year is about laying the foundation for the Lakers' eventual penthouse. Don't you think you need to find out what the base structure is?
Yeah, but
don't you need answers now?
Is Lonzo guaranteed to be in the long-term plan?
Well, at the number two overall pick, you kind of married to him. Not that that means you just hand him stuff. You know that
he doesn't shoot
well. You got to let him get some burn. Because he's a good passer. He's got a good handle.
But
he's
6'5". Do they need a good passer right now? I mean, that's what LeBron does. That's what Rondo does. They don't need him. I mean, they're better athletes and better ball handlers outside of Lonzo. I mean, Josh Hart, I'd feel more comfortable on the court with LeBron James than Lonzo.
You know, sure.
And so there's too many young, good players that you need to elevate to an elite level with LeBron while you have LeBron in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lonzo's the odd man out in a
sense. Well, he might be. No. I don't disagree with that completely. He might wind up being the old man, the odd man out, but you got to get a definitive answer before you move on. If Magic just came in and Magic hadn't drafted Lonzo,
mm-hmm.
package him, move on. You know, listen, Magic's got a big ego like every superstar does. He wants to make that work because he passed on Jason Tatum.
Yeah, he wants to be right
about
it. And
others.
Yeah, he wants to make
Mitchell.
He wants to make him, a ton of them.
I mean, a lot of people passed on Mitchell, to be fair. But, you know, Lonzo at number two, you and I were starting to talk about that before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Where first they were, he's going to go one. Then we're like, he shouldn't go one. And I remember having the conversation that we weren't even married to the notion that he should go number two.
Yeah.
So I look at the NBA and I look at the Western Conference. Granted, it's one or two games in for most teams, but the Warriors, the Rockets, the Jazz, the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Denver Nuggets, Minnesota, if they get a couple of things resolved, right there, that's seven teams. And now you got to at least give DeRozan and Popovich mm-hmm. and those other players, at least give them a chance to see what happens there. I'll tell you what, forget about making the conference finals. There's no guarantee Lakers make an 8 seed.
No, you're right.
That is not like a hot take. Did you watch the game last night?
I agree. BT,
look at their faults.
And you didn't even mention Portland.
I did. I actually had Portland written down. I don't know
if you said it or not. I didn't
say it, but good catch. But I had it written
Portland's
down.
Portland's good.
I mean, yeah, they are pretty good.
We're not even
Nick Stauskas put a little work in this summer.
That's what I'm talking about. We're not even talking about Damian Lillard or McCollum off the game last night. It was Stauskas who was 7 of 11 and
he was beasted early on. He was feeling himself.
Oh, it was awesome though. I mean, because that's what I feel like that's what Portland's needed in a sense. They've had two stars in their backcourt, two superstar backcourt players, but there's always been like that piece missing with Portland.
And there still is.
Used to be the big. Do they have a big guy, who can stretch and be influential on the defensive end. No, but they have a third shooter now, which is very interesting for Portland right now. Now, who knows if that's sustainable for Nick Stauskas? But it looked great last night.
It did. And this is what I love about the NBA. But it's funny. Not everybody loves C-Webb doing the games. I'm a C-Webber fan. I like – he yells a little bit too much, but I yell a little bit too much. So I guess I have it in common with I yellers like yellers, I guess. But he said something that was really good. Stauskas, one of his early moves where he banged it a couple of jump shots early, and then he did a little pump fake, and he got to the rim, and he did like this spin and a lefty floater. And as they were going to break, Weber said something that was really interesting and really poignant in the basketball sense. And this is what I love about the first 2 weeks of the season. You could tell who put work in over the summer their game, on their weakness.
Because they bring something out.
Something
that
new.
You haven't seen.
Yeah, he's like, listen, Nick Stauskas is not a better shooter than he was last year. He's just more confident.
Yeah.
And then he used to, because he was a great shooter at Michigan, and you've seen spurts, even though he's bounced around, Sacramento, Philly. Nick Stauskas could be a decent fourth or fifth piece on a pretty good team in a year or so. But listen, the main takeaway here is LeBron played 37 minutes, all right? 37 minutes, 37. First half was great. Second half, not too much in terms of the stat line or the stat sheet. He's going to do this every game? I mean, he played 37 minutes. He put up big numbers, and they lost to a team that's not even among the four or five best teams in the conference.
I know it.
Like, this is not going to be easy, and people need to understand. I think most do, that they're going to lose a lot of games, man.
Yeah.
Going to lose a lot of games.
You're right, especially once he – not that he's going to slow down, but at some point he slows down.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that, last year they had that stat – it was a hustle stat. Like how much is LeBron James hustling? Last night he was running the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it. He was up and back, running the floor. Last year with the Cleveland Cavaliers, because he was playing 38 minutes plus every game, he started to conserve himself.
Yes, he did.
He started to chill out, you know, hanging back. Maybe I'll get
a
cherry picket here.
That's what we used to call it in the schoolyard.
Whatever it was.
You just keep your hand up and you get a layup. Cherry picking.
But really, it was to conserve energy if he was going to play that long.
Yeah.
So if he slows down and he's scoring 22 points as opposed to 26.
Well, then they might be a 40-win team. If he slows down discernibly, which he won't this season.
I don't think so.
But if he does, then they got big problems. They got big problems this year, and they've got big problems next year and the year after, because the other players will realize, like, it again, I'll use the word discernible, and I don't mean just a little tick. If there's a discernible drop-off in energy or burst or whatever, or physical resilience in terms of back-to-back or being able to, you know, go for the second half after you sit for 20 minutes during halftime, things that creep into it as you get older, as an athlete, you know that, as a former athlete, the guys around the league who might be inclined to go play with him, the difference makers, that might dissuade them.
That's a good point.
Like, he still has to perform at an elite, and I think he will, but the natural attrition of a 34-year-old superstar playing 37, 38 minutes a night, it's uncharted territory.
Yeah, it's a good thought. He's there for three more years after this one.
So possibly.
Because he's got the opt-out, but contractually, but with the opt-out, is Anthony Davis, or not Anthony Davis, because he'd have to be traded there, but the free guys, Kawhi.
They got to find a way to get Kawhi Leonard. That's the guy they got to get.
But are they going to say, I want to play with LeBron James right now? I don't know.
The ones who have had that choice have not.
But BT, that's part of the reason the Lakers wanted LeBron James.
No question.
And if that part of it doesn't happen, and then he naturally declines, and he's basically just a really great former star, a former elite player on the court teaching. Was it really worth it?
Not for the Lakers.
Yeah.
It won't be, because the Lakers, there's certain teams that, you know, when you're down, they haven't played a playoff game in 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you get, whether it's this year or next year, you win 51 games, you get to the second round, you play a competitive second round series, you lose. You know, that's generally good enough for certain fan bases. That ain't good enough for the Lakers. It's about championships. It's about the Larry O'Brien Trophy, MVP, all-time icons, as the murals so deftly point out here. And if LeBron's powers diminish, you know, just knowing the cast around him, and not a whole lot there. Mm. And by the way, how sweet was that? Did you guys see that Beats the Dre Beats commercial? California Love?
No.
Oh, did you guys see this? Did you watch the game detail, Mike? It was awesome. It was like in the first quarter. He's you know, he's walking into the stadium. It's like, California Love, the arena, give it up. And he's putting on his jersey, and he's got his headphones on. He got Dre, and he got
of course.
It was pretty well done. But the other stuff was, you know, relatively ancillary. You know, the main takeaway was, How did he look in the uniform? You know, from an aesthetic point, that's what we kind of wanted to see. Mm-hmm. How many minutes does he play? Who starts? What's the minute allocation or the minute distribution? Walton's got his hands full.
Mm-hmm.
Walton's got his hands full. We'll leave it at that. You know, let's at least play this real fast because I know a lot of you, it was a late game, didn't get a chance to hear this. We'll do a little baseball next. We'll do a little calls here if you want on LeBron and what Teek and I just said. At least play the sequence where the two thunderous dunks by LeBron early in the game. Go ahead, guys.
Lehman brings the ball in. The Blazers have 12 seconds to shoot. Stolen by LeBron. LeBron on a breakaway. And the first basket of his Laker career is a tomahawk dunk that brings the crowd to its feet. And there's an answer to a trivia question. LeBron's first bucket, a spectacular dunk in the Moda Center. Here's Lillard coming the other way with a dunk. Back to LeBron. They're going back and forth here, up and down. LeBron to the rim, another one. Two tomahawk dunks, and the building is on its feet in the first quarter. Timeout, Blazers, as LeBron announces his presence with authority.
All right, there you go. Lakers Radio Network, John Ireland doing his thing as always. Nice call by John. Back-to-back-to-back dunks, two by LeBron, one by Lillard. So
yeah, that was real time, by the way.
That was real time. That's right. That was quick. That was up there, there's no doubt. So I think this is a good way to pose the question. You know, were you 50? What did you say you thought they would win game-wise?
50.
Okay, 50. So you were fairly conservative. I was even a tick below that. I never went north of 50. I was always in the mid to high 40s. I might even shave one or two off that right now.
I would amend.
You might.
Definitely.
I'm curious. Let's get some calls. 855-212-4227. A lot of you were drinking the Kool-Aid on, oh, LeBron, they're going to win the championship. You saw the game last night. You see who he's playing with here? I mean, do you want to maybe walk that back a little bit? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you ready for the cold months ahead? Winter months can present challenges for your vehicle. There are lots of things to do when winterizing your car. Do you have enough antifreeze? Check. Tire pressure? Check. Wiper blades and fluids? Check. Heater and defrosters working properly? Check. Do you have emergency road supplies? Check. You should also have lubricant ready for latches, hinges, door locks, and weather stripping. What's the one thing you don't want to forget? Your battery. Very cold vehicles can reduce battery power by up to 50%, and when it's cold, your engine needs more current from the battery to get started. Remember, car batteries will give little notice before they die, and one out of four batteries will fail this summer. That is a given. Make sure it's not yours. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
The CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at GEICO.com. So, hey, listen, anytime one of the greatest players of all time switches uniforms, it's obviously a story. And I'm not going to spend the whole hour, obviously, talking about LeBron, but it was interesting to finally see it come to at least the early parts come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Tip the ball up, see what he's got. His home debut will be different.
Yeah.
That's going to be a totally different sizzle, totally different feel, but looking forward to it. And, you know, I just got to be honest with you. How much of that Cardinals game did you watch last night? Cardinals-Broncos.
None.
That was one of the worst games. I couldn't stick with that very long. I couldn't.
I have, as you know, the NFL Rewind thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Game Pass.
Yeah.
So games like that I knew was going to be bad,
mm-hmm.
I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
I watched it this morning.
It's bad.
And after two series or mm-hmm. four series, I said, this Cardinals team is horrendous.
They're bad.
Right now.
I
wasn't surprised that Mike McCoy got fired because we talked about it leading into the game, but then you wake up and you see the score, 45-10.
Two pick sixes? One was a tip, by the way, to be fair to Rosen, but still.
It is, but still.
He's getting hit. He got hurt.
Exactly.
Oof.
David Johnson, BT, and so many guys picked him up on the fantasy team, and I thought, he's a stud, man. David Johnson is a stud, uber, new era type running back. Line him up as a wide receiver, do misdirection, outside the edge, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
65, I read the stats, 65% of his carries are between the tackles. I mean,
wow.
What the hell are you doing?
Welcome to the 1970s.
He's averaging 1.8 yards per carry, BT.
Adrian Peterson.
He has not lined up outside of the backfield one time this season.
That's disgraceful. You know what? you should get fired.
Exactly.
I hate to say that, but that's irresponsible.
When it's David Johnson, I mean, if it's like Christian Okoye, sure, stick him between the tackles.
Christian Okoye, the Nigerian nightmare. Tiki and Tear Me.
Okay, yes, it's Tear Me. It's an M, Christian. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. You say so, it's M.
Tear-me. You know what I was looking at, by the way? There's a lot of important games this week for the NFL. Like, you know, it's very rare when you get very few games where there's not at least one team that's below 500. There's always one team. And listen, there's a few this week, but there's only two. So, and one of which is the Browns and the Bucks. I mean, that's intriguing because you got Jameis Winston versus Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield and the Browns are still in it because nobody's going to run away with the AFC North, we don't think.
You're absolutely right.
So,
how they rebound is an interesting. Let's see how they rebound.
100%. I mean, you know, it's not off the table that if this doesn't go well, that Hugh Jackson's going to be replaced. I mean, that story has not gone away. It's maybe hidden in the corner of the room for a couple of weeks because they played okay out of the shoot here.
They've doubled their win total from last. They doubled from the win last total. 2 years.
I know, it's crazy. Titans, Chargers, Pats, Bears, Panthers, Eagles, Texans, Jags, big one. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey again. I saw him yesterday. Was doing his not a whole lot to say. So chirping for full. You know what? One, that would have been 2 full weeks of serious chirping.
Yep.
And now he's not saying much. I actually think the Jaguars, I was looking at the Texans injury report, and I'm not a big, I mean, nobody's a big Blake Bortles fan. Nobody, let's be honest. But I actually think the Jaguars are going to punish the Texans this
really?
Week. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're going the other way. Fuller's banged up.
Fuller's banged up.
Hopkins is banged up.
He is.
Miller's on the injury report. A lot of their guys are banged up.
I know it.
And I think the Jaguars will be ticked off. They're playing at home. I think the Jaguars are going to put up a nice effort. But again, I mean, if they lose 20-17, would it stun me? No. But I expect the Jaguars to punch back. I'm going to give them that. If they don't, then I probably write them off for the rest of the season.
You're right.
This is show us a little something for the Jags, right?
Especially about their offense. Because Blake Bortles has been bad.
But I don't think that's going to get better no matter what. I appreciably better, I don't think.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett, their offensive coordinator, I like him. I hadn't met him before until I did the Giants game. Great guy. I think he's smart. I think he can find ways, or he needs to start finding ways to get playmakers involved without having to run the ball.
But do they have any? Who are the playmakers?
That's the problem, and that's the issue. And so, to me, their defense played horrible, but it was because they didn't play complimentary football.
True.
They were 3-and-out. I mean, I did the stat on Monday. They were 3-and-out, I think, 3 of their 4 series that they ran in the first half against the Cowboys. They ran 4 series. One of them was like a 6-and-out, but whatever. They punted on all of those series and in the end of the half.
Mm-hmm.
And your defense, I don't care how good you are, if you're on the field that long, you just get worn out. Attrition starts taking its toll. You start making mental mistakes, and good quarterbacks and good schemes will take advantage of it, and that's what the Cowboys did, particularly on the ground. They rushed for 200 yards on the ground, the Dallas Cowboys. That's a fatigue thing. Against a good defense with a good front seven and good secondary players that'll tackle you, you give up 200-yard rushing, that's fatigue, right? And it's on the offense for me. It's not on the defense. So to me, the key to this Jacksonville team, while we talk about the D, it's really the offense. So that's what Nathaniel Hackett has to figure out. Leonard Fournette, again.
I know.
He's out.
I know. You know what's funny? What you just said is so spot on, because I was doing something for Tops, and I thought what you just said in my head. I'm like, am I going to blame all the – like, is I'm going to put all this on the Jaguars defense? I was kind of structuring something that I didn't know if I wanted to bring it to the show, and I wound up – I'm going to, because what I thought was right, and I looked up time of possession, and the contrast from this year to last year – last year they were top 10.
It's unbelievable, right?
This year they're like 25th or 26th in the NFL. So, you know, that monster disparity is directly attributable to, you know, being on the field, getting tired, getting lazy, bad habits, and then getting gashed. And it looks like the defense is completely checked out, but they need just a speck of help from the offense. I think that's a really good point.
Give me 10-play drive. You don't have to score. Just give me a 10-play drive.
I know, really. Just give me a chance to get some water and some oxygen. Jeez, guys. Ravens, Saints, Jets, Vikes, Cowboys, Redskins, Bengals, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Some good action coming up.
There is a report. Is this final, Samter?
What's that?
According to Schefter, so it appears to be
Schefter,
final.
Carlos Hyde is being traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's a big deal.
And it's telling. We had this
that
conversation.
They're worried about Fournette.
About Fournette.
Wow.
A couple years. We talked about, is this a lost season for Leonard Fournette? We did that last week, or is that earlier this week?
This week
earlier
came up.
This week. Yeah. Is this a lost? I mean, you don't trade for a guy who was pretty studly last year out in San Francisco and Carlos Hyde. if you think Leonard Fournette's going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah, wow. I didn't even see that. So that just came across?
That just came across.
Wow, I guess it's a fifth rounder, Mike. Is that what it is, the report? All right, you know, for a fifth rounder for where the Jaguars are, I think that's worth it.
I agree.
You know, it's not like...
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? The division's still winnable. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to run away. They were in the AFC Championship game a year ago. Eventually, all these guys are going to get paid on defense. They'll have a few defections. Go for it. I think that that's a good move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they got to do it now.
All right.
They can't wait.
Yeah. Jason Lock and Fora. Yeah, he'll join us coming up here on Tiki and Tier, the usual Friday spot, CBS Sports NFL Insider. So we'll get to Jason. Also, we'll squeeze in a little. We got to give David Price a little respect here. It's easy to bury David Price for all his October follies, but the Red Sox, I mean, you know, I know we don't have time to do this now, but what the Red Sox have done, or at least do it in depth, what the Red Sox have done with so many different players, like the recreation of their roster,
no doubt,
to still reach this level is amazing.
No, but we knew, like, some of those guys, like Benintendi, when he was a rookie. Like,
he was an uber prospect.
Yeah, right. This kid is going to be good.
Right? Oh, yeah. But, I mean, think about it. They went all these years without a championship. They broke through with guys like Kevin Millar and Johnny Damon.
5 years? When was the last one? 13?
Five years.
Yeah, 13.
So you got guys like Millar and Curt Schilling and Johnny Damon and, of course, Pedro, the team that broke through and ended the curse. And then the recreation since have been a lot of different players. I mean, it's really a testament to their scouting acumen and their player development. Red Sox are a great franchise.
Yeah,
Nothing else to say.
No,
great franchise.
No, about it. And it was good to see. We're Yankees fans in this room, but it was good to see David Price figure it out. He was 0 for 11.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big David Price fan, but you got to respect where you got to respect.
He's been one of the great pitchers over in this generation.
Yep.
And he just sucked in the postseason.
Yeah.
0 for 11.
Yeah,
six
I know.
Something ERA.
He's six and a half.
He was brilliant last
night.
Yeah,
he slayed a big demon. It's a big spot for him. And now you'd have to think that he's feeling pretty good going into the World Series. And the Red Sox can rest, set up the rotation, get Chris Sale a little extra time for shoulder.
Yep. Game one is Tuesday.
Tuesday night. There you go. We'll be the Dodgers or the Brewers. We will find out. Let's get the update for Mac after that. Jason Lock and Fora. Here's Smackerman. All right, getting a little pre-trade deadline action. So maybe a harbinger of things to come. We'll get to that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Jason Lock and Fora stopping by in a sec. It's time to Ask the Pros. We do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So it is done. It's official. Jaguars in the market for a little running back assistance. Fournette's still banged up. Carlos Hyde is now in tow. We'll see if that could change the disparity that you and I were talking about in terms of the time of possession.
That's actually, a big one.
27th this year in terms of time of possession are the Jaguars. Fifth a year ago.
Yeah.
That is the root of their, I don't know if demise is the right word, but uneven start.
Their current uneven start is the best way to put it, BT. Mm-hmm. And they have running back issues, as we mentioned. Leonard Fournette is banged up with the hamstring injury, is out again. And this signals that they likely will be out with him for at least a couple more weeks. Corey Grant, who was their change of pace, smaller, you know, wide receiving running back, he is on IR. Yeldon is banged up a little bit as well. He missed some time in practice this week. So they're kind of without a running back right now. They had to make this move.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, a fifth-round pick, it's actually pretty good given how desperate they were for a runner.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot. Let's get some answers. Obviously a huge Week 7, big games, important stuff. Jason Lock and Fora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, the NFL Today, top CBSSports.com. What up, Jay? How you feeling today, buddy?
I'm actually my allergies are kicking my butt, but otherwise I'm good.
Winter allergies are the worst.
These are two here in the next 12 minutes. I apologize in advance.
That's all good. Let me ask you this, Jay. The trade with Carlos Hyde, obviously the Browns want to get some more reps for Chubb. Was this initiated by the Browns or by the Jaguars?
It's just the Jaguars.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Yeah. They've had mounting frustrations with Leonard Fournette and, you know, some concerns about when can he carry the load, and if he's breaking down, you know, this much in this little bit of time, can we really bank or just assume that even when he comes back from this hamstring thing, you know, that he's a guy who's going to be able to run the ball 25 times a week week in, week out in this league. You know, are you going to go and rent a Le'Veon Bell? Well, he's a heck of a lot more expensive, and you don't know what kind of shape he's in. To get Shady McCoy, now you're talking a second-round pick plus based on the tenor of conversations between the Bills and the Eagles when the Eagles were exploring that one. I think if Marshawn Lynch wasn't hurt, that you might have been able to go get Marshawn Lynch for a five, and then there's your battering ram, and I think his style would have probably fit with what they're looking for there. Mm-hmm. But he's hurt, so he's not going to be traded. So this makes sense. You know, it makes sense for all parties. He'd done a nice job for the Browns and found a nose for the end zone, but Chubb has been getting, really from the Raiders game on, Chubb has been at least factoring into their offense.
Yeah,
Chubb's the more explosive guy. Carlos Hyde is older. Carlos Hyde is more expensive. So, you know, I get it. I get it from all sides. But the Jags, you know, look, this is also a tacit acknowledgement that our quarterback stinks. Like, we probably shouldn't have extended him. And so if you think that Carlos Hyde is going to mitigate all the issues with their passing game, you're crazy.
Yep.
But maybe this helps them incrementally.
Yeah. No, let's move on from the Jags and get to a former Jags quarterback, though, and Byron Leftwich, who is now the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals. I think we knew that Mike McCoy had a very short leash when it came to this offense. It was so unimaginative and stale, and just in a league where the offense is explosive, his was terrible. So we knew this was going to happen. But what can we expect from Byron Leftwich? I know that Bruce Arians was very high on him when he was an assistant there, and then as he moved into the quarterback coach role with the Cardinals. How's this going to change what the Cardinals are doing?
I would think that they would be much more. I mean, the easy thing would be, well, let's just start by being much more imaginative about how we use David Johnson. I mean, I remember playing around on Stats Inc. 2 or 3 weeks ago and seeing that the Cardinals were running the ball up the middle more than any team in the league, and I just kept hitting refresh to make sure that I was reading it right. Like, which, you know, I'm like, this just doesn't make any sense. Like, they're not running the ball that much, and when they do run the ball, 75% of the time they're running, you know, right into the A-gap. And that's not really David Johnson. I think you'll see more imagination in the screen game, more imagination in putting him in the slot, maybe flexing him out wide, finding a way to just reestablish him. But look, Rosen is banged up right now. It's not a great offensive line. They're not overloaded with talent. I mean, and this was another team. Like, we can talk about Mike McCoy, and it wasn't pretty, but Mike McCoy didn't set this whole thing up.
Yeah.
You know, Mike McCoy wasn't the general manager who's in jail, you know, for DUI through the preseason. And Mike McCoy didn't hire Steve Wilks, and Mike McCoy didn't put the whole staff together, and Mike McCoy didn't give Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon a combined $22 million for this year to hold clipboards. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a mess.
It was a mess.
I was writing a couple of weeks ago that Mike Smith and Mike McCoy both probably only have one more game here unless things improve dramatically.
You were.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to change everything, and I think Leftwich has a bright future. But think about what he's stepping into in the middle of the season.
Yeah. Thanks, I mean, guys. Appreciate you.
What a resume builder.
Like, okay, are they going to make five trades at the deadline, or are they going to do the smart thing and trade Larry Fitzgerald and gut it down even more and tear it down to the studs? Because I got news for you. They're not going to be a good football team anytime soon.
No,
even
they're not.
Byron Leftwich is the next Josh McDaniel.
Yeah, but, Jay, look at it this way, Jay. You could look – if I hear you on Leftwich, right, but you can view it one of two ways. He's put a tough spot because they have nothing, or if there's just a marginal uptick in production,
right,
he's hailed as a genius.
Just don't go three and out 75% of the time and manage to stay on the field more than like 22 minutes a game. No, I got you, but boy, I think there's only so much what you can do with that cast as presently constructed. That's why I'll go back to get real funky with David Johnson and just try to stay on the field that way by getting the ball in his hands in space versus in traffic.
That's what Tiki was saying before. He was spot on. Talking to Jason Lockin for CBS Sports NFL Insider with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, let's stay out on the West Coast. How concerned, because we know that the owners didn't have a full meeting about this, but it was a topic of conversation at the owners' meeting, about the Los Angeles Chargers, their lack of revenue. We know they can't get out of their lease now. We didn't know this yesterday when we talked about it, BT, until 2039 or whatever it may be. But how concerned is the league about the Chargers financially?
Not as concerned as some of these reports would make it seem. I mean, there is no plan B. There is no escape hatch. You know, like, even if you're concerned, you've got to ride this out and just figure out the degrees to which you can make it work. The bottom line is that building was constructed to be in use more than just a couple Sundays a year. And the dirty little secret of the NFL is, I mean, the attendance stuff doesn't look good on TV. But in a stadium like that where Kroenke's spending the money and not Spanos, and they knew the lease deal they were getting into, and they felt it was better than what would have happened staying in San Diego, and you make money at the macro level off of the TV revenues, and now they've got two home teams in the L.A. market, and, you know, maybe eventually and by 2022 somebody's in London, and then those ratings and what you're selling the U.K. rights for, and Verizon just paid $2 billion for streaming rights. Like, you're not staying afloat, you know, selling beer and popcorn, you know, and upper bowl tickets. So I think we'll just have to see. Yeah. No one's going to know how it works, but they've also never had a stadium this glitzy and glamorous, a football facility, you know, in that area. Did I like the idea? No, I didn't like the idea of having two teams in L.A. and one in Vegas. I don't think is necessarily prudent, but I think they rushed that, but there's no going back now. And until that, they're in that stadium for 5 to 7 years, we won't really know. I mean, how good is the team? Do they become the fast break L.A. Lakers, and now they're the sexy team to see? And I don't know the answer to all that. But, like, this is a done deal. Like, there's no going back.
Yeah.
Nope. That's it. Jay, you got to help me out with something. Every day we do talk radio, and the template for talk radio is 80-ish% NFL, 70-ish% NFL, 15% LeBron, Tigers playing, you throw Tiger Woods in there. But we know what drives the engine. And the underneath the hood of that engine is quarterback talk, right? We always talk about quarterbacks leading up to the draft, dissecting relationships like Derek Carr and John Gruden. Can you explain to me how the former number two overall pick, who was regressed in a very dangerous and swift manner, that's Marcus Mariota, how come this regression has gone largely unnoticed? It's like nobody dives into this and really gives it the attention it deserves.
Except
what
us.
Happened to him?
Except
I,
us.
I don't know, except us, but you know what I mean.
How often can you go through and find a six-game chunk where he played every game?
Ah, well, okay, then
is that any better?
No, exactly. That's worse. That's worse.
3 weeks, and then it's a hamstring.
That's worse.
He's supposed to miss one game, but then you bring him back too soon, and it's two, and then it's an ACL bruise, and then it's an ACL tear.
He's injury prone.
You know, really been at 100% for any amount of time that I think long enough to say. I think Mike Mularkey, I mean, that was not a particularly inspired choice, you know, to be his head coach. I mean, let's just go back. They fired Wizenhunt real early in the season because they thought they weren't babying him enough and were bringing him back from injury too soon. And then he kind of looks okay with Mularkey, so let's not disrupt that. And then it's two more years with Mularkey and ground and pound and the least imaginative offense I've seen in my life, you know? And then that leads to this, where now he's got a first-time coordinator who's never done it before. A
lot of excuses.
Delaney Walker goes down. They can't run the football.
A lot of excuses.
I don't think he's good.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
Good, but they're probably going to pay him because the owner loves him, and you know she thinks of him as her son, and he's such a good kid, and everybody's rooting for him, and he's got tremendous manners. And, you know, he's the face of the franchise kind of choir boy. And I get all that, but no, he's not productive on Sundays.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. Because, like, you know, if he was the quarterback of the Jets or the 49ers or the Raiders or, you know, just
but here's the thing. They were in the playoffs last year.
I understand that. No, I know.
I mean, it was ugly. It was hard to stomach. But, like, you know, and right now, I think on tiebreakers, they're still first place in that division.
He's
right?
One of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, Jay.
Yeah.
He's one of the worst quarterbacks in football.
It's not good.
Okay.
But he also, I mean, it takes a village, and he you know, it's funny. When they made some of those trades early on, everybody's like, oh, wow, what a progressive franchise. They got to figure it out. You know, John Robinson's going to be one of the best young executives in the league. Well,
not working out well. Maybe they are. They're tough to watch on offense. Jason Lockenfor is with us here on TK.
Hey, Jason, we only have about 2 minutes here, but a couple quick questions about some quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill, is this maybe the end for him?
Look, as long as Adam Gase is there and Ryan Tannehill can throw the football, then those two are married. They're joined at the hip,
yeah.
And that's Adam's guy. If Adam goes down in flames, it's going to be with Ryan Tannehill, especially at this point. I mean, and look, Brock Osweiler was more than functional last week, but I think he's almost better coming out of the bullpen late, not having to overthink it. You know what I mean? And just finding out, like, try to run this offense. Now, taking all the reps this week, kind of like feeling like you're the guy a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so I
hear you.
He's not going to lose his job to Osweiler, but he's got to get healthy.
Not, but he's got to get healthy. You hear Gase talking about it. He sounds very frustrated with him. And also, I keep hearing are seeing or whatever. It's probably a conspiracy rumor about Derek Carr getting traded to the New York Giants. Any feasibility to that?
Well, if you're asking me to throw darts, I would throw a dart in that direction. I don't think it's crazy. Not because Gruden hates Carr or Carr hates Gruden or whatever, but just look at that team. I mean, look at where they are and where they're going. And if you're going to have all these draft picks, and if Gruden falls in love with a quarterback in the draft who's cheaper and he can get a one plus something for Carr and he's not going to win for 2 or 3 years anyway, there will be a market for Carr. Even if Carr plays like this the rest of the year, there'll be a market for him. And I think the Giants make sense because they've proven they don't really want to go the hard way with a young quarterback. Yeah. Right? They don't really want to see that through. They didn't give Odell all this money and draft Barkley and sign the highest paid left tackle in the history of the NFL to now turn it over to a 21-year-old kid. So,
all right. Jay, get some Claritin. Take care of those sniffles, man. Get ready for Sunday. I'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Lockin for a little bit under the weather, but still toting a rock. I mean, look at this. Mariota, 5 games this year. 117 yards, 129 yards, 344, but he threw it 43 times. Mm-hmm. 100 and 103. I know he's been a little bit banged up with nerve damage. But after a while, it's like you can't keep saying it's the system, it's the lack of a running game, it's the lack of weaponry. Are you good or are you not?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to elevate people around you?
No. We had this conversation about him versus Jameis.
I'll take Winston.
I said the same thing. At least I know I'm going to get...
And hope he matures.
Exactly. And stops throwing turnovers in the red zone.
Well, that too. Hour 2 coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.